Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 9 coverage for Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here tonight to talk about this eviction episode where we found out that there are no more teams and we've lost our mastermind of chaos, Josh. So we're going to get into that. And everything else. I'm joined here tonight by Phil. How you doing, Phil?
How you doing, Taryn? Listen, this was the most excited I've been for a Big Brother episode. Probably, you know, even before the triple eviction in last season, like in years. And of course, you know, it kind of went out with a whimper. But I'm so excited to actually podcast about an episode I was so hyped for. So I'm really excited to be here.
Also with me tonight is one of Melissa's dogs. I'm not sure which one, but they are also very excited about this episode.
Yes, they're thrilled. They just enjoyed it so much. No, but for real, though, this has been such a great week for Big Brother. I mean, this is what you want. Like, yes, the flip didn't happen, but the fact that we went into the episode being like, I have no idea what's going to happen. And the fact that it kind of kept going back and forth. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you want to see. No matter who is like, no matter who's on the block, it's like, I love the flip. Like, I love the like, intrigue of like who is it going to be. And you know, lately we've had some seasons where it's just been kind of like, okay, this person's going to go home this week, and we know it starting at the very beginning of the week, and there's nothing to look forward to, nothing to be curious about. It's kind of just like, all right, let's just get this over with so we can see who the next HOH is. But this week was totally different. I enjoyed every second of it, even though it was very confusing. Unfortunately, the flip didn't go through. You know, you want to see, or at least I wanted to see the flip. So, you know, unfortunate in that regard, but still very fun. Great, great fun time.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I got enough out of the flip that, like, you know, the flip came so close to happening that it basically did happen. And and we almost got the best of both worlds where, because it basically did happen, we're now, you know, we now have Ro still in the game, knowing that it basically like did happen. Yeah. and willing to come maybe take the fight back to the Sunsetters. But we'll get into that and more. We do know who the HOH is. The feeds did just come back up. We will not be spoiling who won the HOH, but we will be talking about some details from the feeds throughout the week that were probably left out of the episodes here that can maybe help fill in some of the blanks for you guys. So that will be fun to talk about as we go on here. But I thought this was an okay episode. I feel like it was what I expected. So for those that haven't been following along with the feeds, the last 2 days have been utter chaos as everyone has been running around talking about flips. The Sunsetters are in the midst of like a civil war over this vote, which, you know, is not even that big of a deal. Kiefer's running around trying to make the flip happen and then walking it back a few hours later. Toya is pissed off because they are not listening to her, and she thinks the flip should have happened, and all of this is going down, and, you know, of course none of it's in the episode, but we did at least get a decent representation of what was happening prior to all of the chaos, and we got to see some fun, familiar faces as well here, so I thought overall, in terms of my lowered expectations for Big Brother Canada editing, this was fine.
Yeah, I feel like the episode did a fine job of simply explaining, like, why we don't know who's going home. Like, I think that they did their job, and they showed the house meeting. I mean, they had so much to cover that it was kind of like, how do they fit it all in? And I think, like, overall, while they didn't show the back and forth and the chaos and everything like that, they did kind of explain why we were in a situation coming into this eviction episode where it was like no one really knew what was going to happen. Like, you know, you have the house meeting and everyone's like, okay, Josh is going home. And then all of a sudden Josh gives this pitch and, you know, you have the three women being like, I don't know, that's pretty good. And then it's like, all right, who's going to be evicted? So, I mean, while it wasn't totally like accurate in terms of everything that happened, it gave a decent portrayal of like the confusion, I guess.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I feel like the last couple days have been so back and forth where we've been guessing. But I feel like to actually edit that in a show, it'd be nearly impossible. So they kind of did the best that they could do with the scenario. And I feel like we did still kind of get like Toya's motivations of why she was thinking about the flip. And so like, and Tina's as well. And Keith, like, we got the Sunsetters like opinions of like what was going on with the flip a little bit, but it was enough for a casual to basically understand and basically understand what was going on. So I can't be too mad at it. I would say they could have done a better job, but yeah, they did the best they could.
Yeah. So we start the episode at the end of the previous veto. Arissa describes it as an emotional veto win. Because we know just how much danger Kiefer was in if he had stayed on the block, that he, you know, it was life or death for poor Kiefer. But he uses the veto. Ro goes up on the block as a pawn, and we start the episode here. Austin, I believe, is described as like the queen of the castle or something. I don't know.
I guess that's accurate.
Is it?
She's HOH, but not really. I don't know.
Yeah. We did get, I think, the best representation of all of the flip-flopping that was happening was, you know, Victoria in the ball pit, you know, looking for the flip-flop. I think Arissa tweeted like a flip-flop last night after all the craziness mm-hmm. that was going down. And I was like, oh, this is what we're going to get from the flip of yesterday. The flip-flopping is the
it's a flip-flop, not
looking
flip.
For the flip-flop in the ball pit.
It
yeah.
all makes sense. Yeah. No, the ball pit, honestly, like, it looks like it'd be a lot of fun. I feel like there's been a lot of talk about, like, would it be fun, guys? Like, do we really think the ball pit would be fun, especially from Taryn? He's a little not a fan of the ball pit from what I understand.
I mean, I'm fine with ball pits. I just want to make sure that it's sanitary.
Now you're saying it's fine, but I do feel you've been very anti ball pit, and I have to say I'm pro ball pit.
Oh, yeah. Is this how it works? Is this, so you paint me as anti ball pit, and you're pro. You know what? I disregard the way that you're trying to categorize me. Even if I was anti-ball pit, I would prefer the term anti-sphere pit.
Look, I have to say, I watch all the morning updates, and I've seen these conversations. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Listen, I'll come right in the middle of that, you know, hate ball pit, love ball pit. Listen, it'd be a lot of fun to play in it, but I totally felt Victoria's pain of losing something in the ball pit. As soon as I first saw the ball pit, my first fear was like, oh my God, imagine if I lost something in that ball pit. And then I thought, you know, how great would it be to like sabotage another house guest? Like, you know, like throwing someone's toothbrush in the ball pit, like Shannon on Big Brother 2
the
or
next
something.
Shannon, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be terrible.
Interesting strategy. Yeah.
When I saw the ball pit, my first thought was like, this is terrible for production. Like, I mean, in terms of like you can't see people when they're necessarily like in the ball pit. You can't really hear them because you're hearing the balls. Like, I mean, it's not good for television to like have people possibly having a strategy conversation, but like in the ball, under the balls.
And they do. Like, they have strategy conversations while they wade in the balls.
It's like the sound is bad. The visual's bad. Like, while it's funny,
the visual's
kind of
good, I will say.
It's funny for the first, like, for like the joke of it. But if you're trying to like get someone's like facial expressions or whatever, and they're like this in a ball pit and they're like only their eyes are showing, like, that's not quite great for television. Like, it's great for the memes, but it's not great for like the suspense or any sort of drama.
I think there should be an entire season that takes place in a ball pit. No escape.
An entire scene where it's just subtitles and balls. We just see different shots of balls in the ball pit.
Yeah.
While people,
you don't actually see their heads. You just see like, you just like cutting to different buried people in the ball pit as they talk.
You're
strategy.
Like, I think that sounds like Kiefer. I don't know. What is Kiefer. Your guys' thought on the, do you believe there is something hidden in the ball pit, like a veto or some sort of power?
So, we got these TikTok messages from the former house guests. We'll talk more about them, I think, later. But we got one from Adam, and let's, you know, Adam's great, but we didn't get the full Adam message. We didn't get his clip had him finding the secret assassin power and then it being used. We got a cut version of Adam's tape. When we got cut versions of other people's tapes, it was like one line, right? Mm-hmm. We got a very specific line from mm-hmm. Adam about, hey, look everywhere because you never know when you might find a power. And we didn't even get the context of why he was saying mm-hmm. it is because that's what happened to him. We just got that line, which tells me 1,000% there will be something hidden in the ball pit. I don't think there is right now because mm-hmm. they're going to introduce it when they're ready for it to be there. Right. But I think that there will be something to find in that ball pit between Victoria yeah. looking for the flip flop and Adam saying, look for things. Mm-hmm. Someday we will see somebody looking in that ball pit for a secret power here, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, I saw something on Twitter that someone tweeted about how there was like a ball that was like a little bit bigger. I don't know if you guys already talked about this on the podcast or not, but mm-hmm. yeah, like I'm wondering if maybe that is a ball, but yeah, they would wait to introduce it or wait until they need a house guest that they want to save or something like that to introduce, you know, some kind of, you know, twist or hidden veto or something like that. But either way, it's really genius. Like the idea of like hiding something in there and having all the house guests look through it, because I don't think anyone would really suspect it, even though they're watching the TikToks. Like I'm wondering maybe they thought it was, if it was for an HOH or something. So I hope they're, you know, they keep their eyes open for something in the ball pit. Yeah.
I don't know if this makes me weird, but I feel like I would enjoy searching that ball pit for things.
I thought you just said you didn't like the ball pit.
If I was in the house, I feel like I would throw a flip-flop in there just to have something to do, you know.
Yeah. Well, I would throw one in there and be like, oh, I'm just looking for my flip flop. But really, I'd be looking for other things like vetoes, et cetera.
I think it would be fun. I think I might also like have fun being like, all right, what if I separate the ball pit into like a color coordinate? Like all the blue ones over here.
Oh my God.
Like that would be fun too, right?
I bet they will do that at some point. I mean, honestly, like once they get to the point where they're just so bored and they have nothing to do, I'm sure it'll be like a group activity where like, first off, it starts with one person. Here's my prediction. Oh my God, I'm getting a message. Okay. So here's what it is that one person starts sorting the balls and then one other person joins them. And then the whole house is doing it. And it's a big group activity and they're all sorting the balls. And that's the end of my prediction. There's nothing comes of it, but it is a prediction.
I just love the thought of like Taryn being in the house and all the other house guests are like strategizing and they're like, where's Taryn? And he's like, oh, you know, he's just in the ball pit, just like doing his thing.
Classic Taryn in the ball pit.
I'm very practiced at like being very, like when I was a kid, I had so much time where I had nothing to do and nothing to like do anything with. And so I had to come up with the most weird, boring things to like to occupy my time. And I feel like that's one of the things I would do in the house if I was just like, I just need to like just like chill for a second and like think about my strategy. And in the meantime, I'm going to sort these balls.
Throw every have not competition. And yeah. Put yourself in there. Yeah.
All right. So we did get the house guest messages. Some of the other house guests, former house guest messages were from the very first one from Mitch. It's Mitch. I can't believe we're seeing Mitch again.
I was so happy to see Mitch.
Yeah, yes. I like forgot like how much I loved Mitch until I saw that clip, and I was like, "Oh wait, why didn't they bring Mitch back like every season? Like he's amazing."
I love Mitch just like casually throw like though that classic Big Brother Canada twist took me out like the most screwed person in the history of the show. I thought his was great. Obviously he makes YouTube videos for a living, so he knows how to make something like this. It was very good. And then we skip through to Anthony Poutine. Yeah. Poutine Poppy, the great white shark. How do you say you're a Big legend? Brother Canada legend without saying you're a Big Brother Canada legend?
He's so great.
Do you guys think Anthony, you know, the Poutine Poppy, is a Big Brother Canada legend? Would you classify him on that tier?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Poutine Poppy.
Yeah.
You look up the definition, Big Brother Canada legend,
and you see this.
Yeah, you're gonna see Anthony. The lion, the great white shark. You're gonna see Aika, true queen of the castle. I loved it from Anthony. Anthony was really great. It's always good to see former house guests. And that we also learned some valuable information about the cast, mainly that Beth is the biggest Adam fan.
That was, I mean, kind of predictable. Like, as soon as she said that, I was like, okay, Beth, that's all I need to know about you. Like, of course I know more about you, but you're an Adam fan. Yeah, I see it.
Yes. And she said that his face was as big as my body. It was surreal.
Hmm.
Yeah, huh. That's what you want. Yeah, I guess.
It was good to see Adam again, too. He's so adorable.
Yeah. It was fun. I was surprised to see Adam, but it was good to see Adam. So we're also going to, speaking of Beth and other people that she's a fan of, we're going to go out to the hot tub and they're playing a game. And Jed tells us, yeah, look, I know my boy, Ty, he's got kind of a thing going with Beth, but I think she's kind of into me, too. So. Why not see where it can go? And there it goes. We get the Beth and Jed kiss from the hot tub.
Yeah. I thought that this probably was not the best move for Jed. And I think it was kind of very telling of like the type of player that Jed is, because he said like, yeah, I know that, you know, Ty has a thing for her. And later we're going to hear Beth say that she has a thing for him. But he's like, I don't really care. She got to, you know, I hear she's feeling me, too. So I'm going to shoot my shot. And I kind of feel like it might not be the greatest move to like your best friend and your closest ally to, you know, try to kiss Beth, even though Beth is trying to play the flirt game. I feel like it, you saw it in Ty. It might've ticked him off just a little bit, and that might grow into something much more later on in the game. So I'm excited to see what happens with this, 'cause I'm having a lot of fun with it, but maybe it wasn't the best move for Jed, I'd say.
Yeah. I feel like if either one of them like catches like actual feelings, it'll be bad. It'll be very bad for their games. I mean, right now it's like, oh, this is like a funny, silly thing to watch. But I feel like if anyone actually gets invested, it's like, oof, that's going to be hard for the three of them to like work together moving forward, you know, if Beth's kind of playing them both. So we'll see.
Yeah, we did hear from Beth in the diary room that she is into Ty more. Which was not very surprising to me, but I think even just the fact that she is saying it out loud, is further confirmation to me that, again, the Ty and Beth thing does have legs in terms of its, you know, it's, there's a place for it to go. Whereas the Jed thing is more just like they're having fun and they're joking around about it. So I was surprised that they did show this. And none of the like we still haven't seen Beth and Ty actually kiss. We've just seen them, you know, put hands over each other's mouths. So I was surprised we didn't get the actual kiss from Beth and Ty. Maybe they're saving it for later.
Another episode where they focus on the triangle.
Maybe we'll get romance, the bath
triangle. Oh boy.
Yeah, I'd say they're probably just saving it for like an episode where there's not like this big flip thing. But either way, I was really loving this from Beth. Like, I just loved this like playful side. Like, I haven't seen a Big Brother contestant actually say, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm flirting with all these guys. And she's pulling it off. It's working as of now. Like, I'm excited to see like what happens later on. And if she's able to even play this like without getting caught, like other house guests already know, like she's kind of playing both of them, and we'll see how far she's going to be able to get without, you know, getting her hand caught in the cookie jar. But I was having so much fun watching it.
Yes. All right. So we start to get some hints of a flip here that now this takes place out by the hot tub. This was actually, I believe, on Sunday. That this happened, that they talked about potentially flipping the vote to get rid of Ro instead of Josh. And the primary reason was that Ro and Kyle had approached Kiefer about, you know, forming some kind of alliance, thinking that that potentially Toya, Ty, and Jed are working together. And so Kiefer said, hey, what if we flip the vote? And we take one of them out. Now, this initial plan is, as depicted on the show, shut down primarily by Tina. Toya actually was a little bit more into it than Tina was. And, you know, we would know if Toya was more not into it than she seemed to be. So Tina actually put in a lot of work to shut this down. And that's because Tina also had been approached by Kyle and Ro to work with them. And Tina kind of saw this as an opportunity to ride out both sides and let the guys go after each other. However, over the course of a couple days, Kyle and Ro continued to talk to Kiefer, did not talk to Tina as much. And so Kiefer made another push yesterday. And this is when things started to get wonky with all of the flip stuff. But as portrayed in the show, this initial flip idea was shut down by Toya and Tina. What we're going to get to later is that Toya is actually the person most upset by the fact that this did not flip, which is probably confusing to say to you guys right now. But Toya is actually the person, as of last night and today, the person who has been pushing the flip the hardest. And that's why the feeds have been interesting.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's honestly been really interesting to see the perspectives on the flip change. I feel like it's like, at one point we had these people in favor of it and all these people against it. And then it was like that totally flip flopped. And then it like flipped back at one point. And it was just like, everyone wanted different things at every single point. There was maybe like a minute where everybody was like, okay, yeah, we're on the same page. And then it was like, nope, now we're split again. Everything's different. It made it so interesting. I have to give credit to Josh, honestly. And also, you know, I do have to give credit to like Tara and Tina and Toya, because, you know, a lot of the time, at least in recent seasons, when somebody is, you know, when the house has already decided this person's going home, that person comes to people with like a pitch. And nobody listens to them. Everyone laughs at them. It just says like, you know, why aren't you laying down and dying? Like, you just need to go home. Like, we're all voting you out. Just give up. And it's like, that's not what we want to see. We want to see the person fight. So like, when people just get shut down and shut down and shut down at every turn, and they don't even get to give a pitch, they don't even have like open ears to hear it. It's been upsetting. So it was very great to see them like actually listen to him and then think about his pitch, and not just immediately the second he walks out of the room be like, yeah, he's going home. Like, I liked that they were like, you know, he made some good points, because he did make some good points. And I think that as the week went on, certain people would benefit from keeping Josh and certain people would benefit from keeping Ro. And it was good to see that people were looking out for their own interests and kind of like taking these ideas in mind when making those decisions.
Yeah, I think that's just a total testament to how great this cast is, because, mm-hmm. you know, everyone is so, or at least most people are so game oriented, and they understand how important even the first week decision is, and how like the decision you make in the first week might, you know, set the course for the rest of your game. So everyone's trying to lay their pieces and make sure that, you know, it's going to make them, you know, become king at the end. And I think everyone's just doing a great job of, you know, hearing everything out and, you know, mm-hmm. and I mean, like, you see Toya and like Kiefer at the end this week getting emotional about the decisions, like between, you know, going back and forth. And I think it's important, because it's good to be emotional about these decisions, because these are things that are going to play a big factor in like how their games are going to go. And I think and even from Josh, like Josh is pitching, and like, you know, he's not someone who's going to lay down and die. He's not someone who's mm-hmm. just going to like let the game pass him by. Like Josh put in the work this week. Mm-hmm. Like we saw that on the edit. And I think even on the show, like, I mean, on the feeds, like, you know, Josh came up with a plan. He actually had a plan. Not that many people, you know, who are put up on the block have that kind of plan. So well, I think it's just a testament to how great this cast is. Yeah.
Yes. Well, so one of the major things that was left out of the episode is that Josh had a plan, which we did see initially, which was the plan to sort of pitch that he's going after Austin, and that you know, that he can be used as a pawn and all that, and that Austin was really part of all that scandal stuff that happened in day three with the pretty boys, and so we saw that play out, and it leads to this house meeting that we saw on the episode, where Jed is like, did anybody say my name? And Tara's like, yeah, I did. That was me. It's like, no, Tara, stop it. Like, I'm not talking about you.
This is not intended to like call you out, but I guess we'll have to address this later. Like, I saw a tweet on it that was just so funny, where it was literally, he's like, okay, yeah, thanks. Not you, but like, we're going to have to revisit this, because you're also just like saying that you were trying to put me up, but okay. It's just so funny that she just like outed herself like that. Like, she had no reason to say anything. Mm-hmm. She's like, I guess it's me. I have to do it. Oh my God, Tara. Yeah. So funny.
So Josh gets into it with Austin and with Ro and with Kyle. And we see, this was decently portrayed on the episode. We definitely cut out some things, but for the most part, it did not end super well for Josh. He really got shut down, as Rohan sort of describes in the episode. But then we get to what I was expecting from the episode, which was like, and that was just the first part of my plan. Now I'm going to do the next part of my plan.
It's like, I don't think that was the first part of your plan at all. Like, if that was the first part of your plan, it's a bad one.
And what they left out with this Josh campaign is that Kiefer is the one that told him what to say, essentially. Mm-hmm. Kiefer came to him with this plan and who to approach and what to say. And that's why Josh in the exit interview with Arissa was like, well, so obviously Kiefer told me all this stuff. And it's like, well, actually, people who watch the episode, I don't think we're going to be able to catch that one. But Kiefer came to him with the plan to approach most of the Sunsetters minus Beth plus Tara. And so Josh goes to those people. This is when this is when Toya is flipped. This is when Toya says, you know what? Now I'm in. Let's make the flip happen. Tina has been feeling neglected by Kyle and Ro for a few days, and she's being told by Kiefer as well that they're coming after her all of a sudden, and she believes it. And so she's down for the flip. And so the flip starts to happen again. This was the last bit we saw before the vote on the episode, but this was the start of everything yesterday, and the vote flipped. It flipped back, and you know, Kiefer, who had initiated it by talking Josh into doing all of that stuff, telling him what to say, convincing everyone, hard pitching it, ends up changing his mind later and pitching against it and then changing his mind again and pitching for it again. And the guys, Ty and Jed, are deciding that they're into it at first, but then they're changing their minds. Beth was into it at first, but she changes her mind because it would mean that they would have to pretend that she's on the outs with Ty and Jed, and she wouldn't be able to hang out with them as much anymore. Beth and Toya get into it because of this. Tina is annoyed at all the flipping that's going on. And Ro and Kyle, importantly, find out that things have been flipping, and they find out from Victoria that Toya is the one leading the charge. And so now Toya is pissed off that the flip's not happening. She's been outed for leading the charge. And then Toya and Kiefer find out that Victoria ratted Toya out, and Ro and Kyle find out that Kiefer has been ratting them out. And it's a big old mess heading into this HOH competition, especially because Arissa announces no more teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited, Phil.
Yeah, like I was definitely not expecting that at all whatsoever. You know, usually when they set up these season twists, they last at least for the pre-jury or, you know, for the first 3 or 4 weeks. But to have it out, you know, like basically like, you know, this is the second week of the game, but really this is the first full week of feeds we've had. And then the twist is done. It's surprising. And I wonder if it's just because we lost both Julie and Josh and, you know, back to back. And so now they would either have to reshuffle the teams, which would be confusing, or, you know, or just, you know, cut the teams. And I guess that's what they decided to do. And I, you know, also I wonder if it's because of, you know, the internet's reaction and people wanting the teams to end, which I'm glad that Big Brother Canada listened if that's the case. But otherwise, I mean, I'm just glad to see the teams go out of the play just so we can actually see Big Brother again. And, you know, to see the people make decisions based off of who they actually want to put up, as opposed to just like, oh, I can't put up this person and this person, this person. I guess I have to put up these two random people that like I kind of really didn't want to be out in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm very glad teams are done. I was shocked to hear that, to be honest, because I really thought it was going to last for 4 weeks. But you know, I'm glad that it's gone, because I just feel like it hinders gameplay. It makes it so that you have to pick certain people. Whereas like, I mean, at this point, people are already creating their own alliances. You don't need these manufactured like alliances, like team alliances. So I think that I think overall it's better for the game and better for us to have the team's twist gone this early. You know, so it'll be interesting. I mean, to see how this whole thing plays out. Cause I honestly, like, we left off with the feeds going down where, like, I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen. I don't know what ended up happening. Like, I'm going to be interested to see if they show what happened on a future episode, like a flashback or whatever. I don't know if they will, but it would be interesting to see, because honestly, like, how did this flip back? Like, how did it happen? I mean, I thought Josh was going to stay, because if LaToya wants something, I just figured LaToya is going to get it. So I don't know how it ended up slipping out from her fingers. You know, I mean, at this point, she's in a precarious position if Josh leaves and Rohan stays, and he stayed. So I don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, Toya had basically surrendered to the group by the end of last night. But because of some of the events that took place this morning with Kyle and Ro, figuring out that Kiefer is ratting them out, and they had a talk with Tina and Tara about them saying, look, Kiefer told us that you were coming after us. And they were like, that's not true. Toya is the one that is trying to push the flip on us. And Ro basically told Tina that he's going after Toya, right before the feeds cut. And obviously, Toya, as said in the episode tonight, has Tina as her number one. Toya is one of the key numbers for Tina. So you kind of expected there's definitely a chance that Tina brings this to Toya and the group at large and says, look, I know we don't want to do this, but this is real now. He's coming straight at us, and that they could have pulled off some kind of last minute flip before the episode happened. Obviously, that did not occur. And so that's why we, heading into the episode, were like, we don't know where this is going to go. And this is definitely one of those cases where, like, usually the feed watchers go into the eviction episode and it's a lot less tense. than like an episode watcher, because the episode watcher is, you know, doesn't know what's going to happen with the feed watchers do. This was definitely a case where it was like way more exciting to go in as a feed watcher than an episode watcher. And that, I feel like that's normally the case with Big Brother Canada. Mm-hmm. Just because they're just not great at portraying the stuff that's actually going on.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is where we're at. This is where we're at. I love that the teams are done. This immediately brought to mind Big Brother 17, when they were like, all right, let's get ready for a takeover. Mm-hmm. And it was like, this is a flop. This is a terrible twist. And they were like, okay, you know what? Fine. We'll just forget about it.
They're like, we have Gronk. We have to use him. But once he's done his takeover, we're done.
Yeah. I wonder, to be honest, if it's just because of the Sunsetters. I'm not going to say like the Sunsetters killed the twist or whatever, but like just because people are like obviously making alliances between the teams. But I wonder if, you know, they thought it was going to go the way of like Big Brother 6 and Big Brother 20. And if that would have happened, they probably would have kept the teams going much longer, right? Like just to see these two teams duke it out, like a season mm-hmm. of Survivor or something like that. But it just didn't play out that way. So they were just like, what is the point of this? Like not even the casuals even know like what teams people are on anyways. There's no buffs. There's nothing like that. So I'm sure there was just no incentive to keep it going if they knew it was just going to be a bust.
Yes. And yeah. no returning players, no added players. I even got some people saying that they felt like that they might be added today. But nothing, no more players. We have this 14 person cast, I love. Mm-hmm. And we didn't need anything else. What we needed was for the teams to go away, and they did. They did. They went away. I'm genuinely looking at this season and this cast, and I'm like, there's nothing holding it back anymore. Mm-hmm. Like this is so exciting. A great cast. They're all playing the game hard. It's a smaller amount of people. There's no dumb twists in the way anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I'm pumped.
Taryn. Yeah. I know you did like an exit interview with Julie. Is Julie home? Do we know if Julie is like 100% home?
Yeah. She's been tweeting. She's been
right.
Like,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting for the thought that we might even just have like a 14 person season, and legit a 14 person season where no one's ever going to, you know, who knows if they'll do a battle back in jury or something like that. But either way, I just love this small cast and just loving to see them all play and dwindle down to see who finishes it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm excited. I'm excited. So then we leave off the other than the, you know, the editing not being strictly accurate. The other main complaint I would have with the episode is that they love to just not complete the HOH competitions. Ugh. On the episode.
That is such garbage.
It's so bad. I don't understand.
Also, like, all the people who like really like I mean, look, I get casual fans don't care, whatever. But the point is that like all of us who are watching it are so excited to see who's the next HOH. And then when they leave us on a cliffhanger, it's not like we're sitting there twiddling our thumbs till the next episode. Like, oh, I wonder who it's going to be. It's like we find out in a few minutes, very like, just like womp womp, like on the feeds where they just like, are like, they come on and they're in the HOH room. It's like, we don't get that excitement of an HOH comp. And then we just get some wasted time in the next episode where we already know the HOH. There's no suspense. There's no caring about it. Cause we're like, yeah, get this over with and get to noms. Like, I don't understand why they do this. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. It's just such a bad way to end it. Because also like, you want to be excited about the next week. Like you want to come in and be excited because you're like, I don't know who they're going to nominate. I wonder what they do with the power. Not like, oh, I don't know who's going to be the HOH. I feel like that's not the draw. The draw is like, what's going to happen with the nominees, not who's going to be the HOH. Like,
yeah. We also just had so much momentum building in that competition. Because with the knockout competition, you get to see the game unfolding in front of your eyes, and then it totally kills the momentum. So yes. Like for the casual viewer, the casual viewer is not just like, just sitting around like, oh, I guess I'm not gonna, you know what I mean?
I'm gonna be so excited 4 days from now.
Yeah, exactly. Not like it's the next day even. Like, yeah, if it was like the next day, like the episode was tomorrow night, it's like, ooh, like I'm a little excited for this for tomorrow night. Like, okay, maybe. But like once you like have a few days in between, you're just kind of like, oh, wait, what were we doing again? Yeah, and then right. You like get back into it and you're Monday. Not like excited. You're just kind of like, oh, wait, this was okay. The HOH. Okay, cool. It's like
they have to completely reset. Where the house is at, what's going on. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I think even from the casual perspective, like when I watch the challenge, I hate it when they end before the elimination. It's like the cliffhangers are dumb because I don't care by the time it starts up the next week. When you start an episode with a competition, I'm just like, I'm not even like, I haven't even situated myself. Like I don't care. The end of an episode after a buildup of strategy and a vote out, that is when you are most invested in that competition. And I will say this, I prefer saving the HOH for the Monday episode if it means that we don't have a dumb twist competition on every Monday episode. Like if they need a competition every Monday, then I would take an HOH comp over a twist comp. But if they really need a competition, I'd still prefer like a have not comp than pushing the HOH comp.
Totally, totally. And I mean, look, even when I wasn't watching the feeds and I was like, I guess as close to a casual viewer as like I was, I would still like look up the next, like I'd look up that night who the HOH was and then tell my whole family. Like I didn't watch the feeds, but I would look at the update website and be like, oh, this person's HOH. And I'd let my whole family know so that by the time Monday came around, it's like, okay, cool. I don't know. I just feel like it's just such a waste. It's like, I get the logic behind it, or at least like what they think is happening. It's like, let's keep them on the edge of their seat, leave them on a cliffhanger. But like, you can't maintain the edge of your seat cliffhanger like vibe for four days.
And here's the thing, like the actual cliffhanger, like the actual draw to come back is already there. It's already built in. If you wait, if you see who wins the HOH, then it becomes, okay, here's the new HOH. What are they going to do?
Plus then you can think about it. Exactly. Like over the weekend or whatever, you can be like, even if you're not watching the feeds, you can be thinking to yourself, yeah, like, who are they going to nominate? I think this person's working with this person. Oh, but is this person going to be safe?
Oh, does this mean my favorite's in trouble? Oh my God, exactly. I don't know. I'm so worried. I can't wait until Monday. I need to see on Monday if they're going to be in trouble.
If you don't know the HOH, you can't do that. You're just like, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see who's HOH.
Yeah,
can't even think about the show.
The cliffhangers where you actually have to use your brain to think about the game and start thinking about, you know, like how you're emotionally invested in the game. I guess Global's just not interested in that. It's just kind of like they want you to just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, we'll see who wins it. Mm-hmm. I also just think that, you know, if you're going to have a competition on the Monday episode, like at least have it be an endurance episode where we can get some, you know, some confessionals, you know, get like have it be longer paced, because with the knockout competition, it's so quick. Like, how long is it going to take? Like another 5 minutes in the episode? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no point in saving that.
Yeah, like, we needed 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like, it's one. You're completely right. It's one thing to like shove them up on a wall and be like, they're in for a ride tonight. This is gonna be a while. Tune in on Sunday/Monday to find out what happens. It's another thing to be like, all right, we've got 120 seconds left on the clock. Mm-hmm. Whoops, hold on.
Oh no.
Tune in Monday. Repeat the entire competition again for you.
I get that they probably are thinking to themselves like, yeah, but this way we can put in like confessionals, like this way we can put in diary room sessions where like they're saying, oh, I can't believe he paired me up with Victoria or whatever, you know, like, but at the same time, it's like they can still do that after we already know the HOH. They can do a flashback thing where it's like, well, I was really upset that he put me up against this person and this caused this rift between us. Like it's not like impossible to flashback. We've seen it done before.
I mean, when I think back to like when I was still like on the feeds, but when I was a younger viewer and I cared more about like the outcome of like the players playing, when I was watching BBUS, some of the most memorable moments from when I was watching the episodes were HOH competitions. Because those I knew were like the most important bits. And, and at the end of the eviction episode, they'd have an HOH and like, oh my God, like, is Janelle going to get this? Like, come on, Janelle, come on, Janelle. Yeah. And then when she'd win, you'd be like, yes! Like, yes! And like, those were the best moments. And I feel like we lose those. And like, I get it. I also complain that the eviction episodes don't have enough content, because we need to flip this whole flip in. Like, there, you know, if the editors were listening to me, they'd probably be like, well, what do you want, Taryn? Do you want the flip or do you want the HOH? And what I'm saying is that I'm getting neither right now. At least give me one. But again, like, it was 2 minutes. You don't really need that much time.
They also could have moved some of the stuff to Monday. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they could have moved the
kiss or something.
The kiss. Mm-hmm. They could have moved finding the flip flop and the balls. They could have moved the video messages, because I thought they were showing the video messages because that was going to be part of the HOH competition or something like that. But they could have moved literally all of that to Monday's episode in order to cover stuff that happened prior to the eviction, which is now irrelevant. Like, I feel like it's like, now it's like, okay, yeah, Josh is already gone. Like, we don't need to see why. As long as it doesn't, like, affect the next weeks, like, who cares?
Yeah, the thing is, it's not even, like, a time thing. Because the Big Brother Canada evictions, they're not live, right? They're pre-edited, they're pre-taped, everything. So they are really riding on the fact that it is a cliffhanger, even though I feel like it's misguided, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we're talking about now. But I do want to say, they're again very happy that the teams have ended. I don't want it to like the HOH thing, longstanding complaints, but very.
Yeah, I feel like all these complaints are just constant for Big Brother US and Canada. This is not an exclusive thing.
I will say this, although I will also compliment, and I know it's not intentional, but I love the no audience. I love that there's no audience. I personally like the vibe more. There's no chance of interference from the outside, from the audience, and no spoilers, which is so nice. I know that's not a problem for casual viewers, which is their primary concern, but it's definitely an additional benefit to something that I already really like. I love the no audience.
Same.
Yeah. it especially plays a big part in Big Brother Canada too, because they could always hear, like, if, like, mm-hmm. like, for example, like with Cindy putting up Netta, mm-hmm. like that was a big thing because Cindy heard everyone, like, outside of the house cheering for her to put up Netta. Like, but now, you know, we don't have that. So now everyone really is playing in a vacuum, like Big Brother's intended. And for that, yes. I think that's really exciting. Indeed. Although, you know, I still, come on, you want to hear some, you the people cheering for Josh. At least I do. I kind of miss that.
And like when Arissa says, like, I'm sorry, I don't have like a crowd for you. Like, I get that maybe for the individual. Certainly not everyone wants to walk out to a crowd. Certainly Netta didn't. but I feel like it just adds to an atmosphere to not have a crowd. Like the audience really does for me make it feel like it's just a game show. It's just, you know, they're on a set. There's a studio mm-hmm. audience. And when there's no audience, it feels more like it's in a bubble. Like it's like this is an alternative world that these people are playing this ridiculous game in. That's the vibe that I love from old school U.S. Big Brother. And
yeah,
I was going to say they used to do that.
That used to be the way it was done. Like Julie would just like greet them and be like, hey, welcome back outside. Like put your suitcase down. You know, it's like that's just the way it was. And it only changed more recently. So I think like I'm fine with no audience. I don't miss it literally at all.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. Anything else from the episode that we want to talk about before we start speculating on this HOH information?
Nothing further for me. I think we covered it.
Yeah, I guess the one thing I didn't really get to talk about, like the house meeting. And of course, like they really like abridged the house meeting like a lot, like from what went on in the feed.
They cut Roe out of the entire thing.
Yeah. I guess my biggest thing though is I wonder, like, you know, because in the episode we really saw like Austin getting kind of thrown under the bus by Josh, which was like a part of his master plan or whatever. But I kind of wonder like why Austin didn't do a better job of trying to like stop the house meeting, because I feel like she did kind of get caught. And I feel like no one really made anything of it, but I feel like it would have been a smarter move for Austin to try to like, you know, try to defuse the house meeting as much as possible. That was something that I kind of thought was maybe not the smartest decision by her. And I feel like it just fits well with the rest of the way she's been playing the game.
Yeah, I feel like it's like when you're playing Among Us and you're an imposter and everyone's like, let's call another meeting after this, guys. We have more to discuss. And you're like, no, I don't think we should. No, yeah, definitely a great idea because I'm not an imposter. I have nothing to hide. I feel like it was very, very that much, right? Like, very like, well, obviously I'm down for a house meeting because I'm in the right here. So,
yeah, she wasn't like horrible. Like she's not like the worst liar I've seen ever. Like she mostly pulled it off, but like she kind of did put herself in the position, and especially like we saw like she was kind of like encouraging the house meeting. She wasn't trying to defuse it at all. Like Jed was like, "All right, let's do it," and she was like, "Yeah, let's do it." Like, are you really that like supportive of it? But you know, I think she did an all right job with, even though it was her fault.
Can I also say, so they showed a flashback. When so Josh says, hey, I asked you if you thought there was a Pretty Boys 2.0 and you said yes. And then they did a flashback to that conversation. He was like, so I'm thinking Pretty Boys 2.0. What do you think? And we from Austin, we get and this is a visual for you listeners.
Just like the slightest of nods.
Like, does that really count as a yes?
I feel like each of them were believing what they were saying, because she's saying, I didn't say yes. And he's like, you said yes, you agreed with me. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, technically she like agreed with you because she nodded a little bit, but technically she didn't say yes. Like she technically, even if she agreed with you, she didn't say yes. So she's not lying either. I feel like it's like, I was hoping for more clarity, to be honest. Like, you know, when they do those flashbacks during these fights where they like are referencing other things, it's like that's the way the audience is brought in on it and made to know like, oh, this person's like lying, this person's telling the truth, like this is how we know. But I feel like I left that still confused, still not knowing who was telling the truth. Like I don't know, I just feel like I was hoping for a bit more there.
Yeah, I feel like a nod is like the bare minimum that you can do to just like keep the person talking. Like, what is she supposed to do? If she disagrees, is she supposed to like just be like all out like, no, actually, I think that you're wrong? Like, that just that's going to lead to, then he's going to be like, right, well, let's discuss it then. What if she doesn't want to discuss it? The easiest thing to do, just.
Sure, Josh. Sure.
That is not like it wasn't like she was like, oh my God, Josh, I agree. Let's talk about it.
Also, like, who cares? I feel like the whole thing is stupid. Like, Josh is allowed to say, I think, hey, maybe we should be worried about these guys. They seem to be hanging out a lot. Maybe they're Pretty Boys 2.0. And she's allowed to like speculate about people. Like, everyone's allowed to speculate. Like, you're allowed to throw out potential pairs or alliances. I mean, that's the point. And if you're not throwing out potential alliances, then you're being like a purposefully obtuse. Like, I just feel like you shouldn't like, I don't know why people were even like questioning, like, why this was a big deal. Why did they care that Josh potentially said there might be a Pretty Boys 2.0? Like, so?
I think that's just the beauty of Big Brother, or maybe not the beauty, but that's like, I feel like if you're on the top, you know, you're allowed to name, oh, this person, this person, this person. If you're on the bottom, you kind of just have to keep your mouth shut. Like, unfortunately, that's just the reality of the situation. But yeah, it should be more like, why, especially in the beginning of the game, like where people are speculating about stuff and they don't really know each other that well, like they should be allowed to say whatever they want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would just like everyone to know that when I do say things like, yeah, or I'm not necessarily agreeing. Just letting you guys know.
All right,
in case you try to bring it back on me.
Taryn uses those a lot too.
All right, let's get into some spoilers here. We don't know much, but we know who the HOH is, and so we can try to speculate based on that. If you don't want to know because you are on the edge of your seats and you are waiting excitedly with bated breath to watch the conclusion of the HOH competition Monday night, then you can bow out here, and we will see you guys on Monday night probably. But we've got plenty of other stuff coming your way, so you shouldn't miss it. You should just stick around, and we'll have some fun. So here we go. Let's get some spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
They heard it this time. They heard it, guys.
I love the spoiler song.
All right. So we found out that we have an HOH winner. And that winner is Victoria.
Congrats, Victoria.
Shocking, to be honest. I really did not expect that.
Yeah, I mean, she said she was throwing the veto competition, so I kind of expected that she wasn't really going to want to win this one, but she did.
Plus, I have no idea what she's going to do. Like,
her first round, too, like, she won by default. So I thought, like, oh, she's not going to be very good at this one moving forward. Like, she'll probably get out right away. Nope. There we go. Good job for her. I mean, like Phil said, I have literally no clue what she's going to do. I mean, I guess we can, like, kind of assume, like, who she wants to work with or, like, who she likes or whatever. But I just feel like if we wanted, like, a wild card, I feel like this is it.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Victoria, at the start of last week and throughout most of the week, was hanging out with Brayden and Austin. She's pals with them. She was very close to Julie. She has the connection to them through Julie. She's buds with them. She was trying to get Austin to target LaToya at the start of last week. Important to note. But she also tried to pitch an alliance to LaToya this past week. One with Toya, Ty, and Jed. And she told Toya that her targets were Tara and Brayden, which is weird and probably a lie, but she has told Brayden and Austin that she doesn't like Tara and would want to target her. So Tara seems like definitely an option here for somebody that could go, up on the block. But she also is the person who ratted Toya out to Kyle and Ro. She seems to be telling a lot of information to Kyle and Ro. Seems like she probably wouldn't put them up, which is very interesting because that will prolong potentially the Kyle Rowe Sunsetters war. But I don't know which side of it that Victoria is on at this point. I'm not sure if she'll put up Toya. She could put up Kiefer. He's certainly worried about it because he was going to go after Victoria. And she could put up Tara. So those are the three people I'd be looking at the most right now. And I'd also look at, like, who is she going to bring in? Is she going to start working with Kyle and Roe? Is she going to get Austin and Brayden to actually start caring about the game? I don't know. Maybe all of the above. Maybe this is the start of a real opposition side. It could be interesting.
I feel like this is like one of the better case scenarios for not having a dominant giant alliance. Like, I feel like both the last week and this week, we've had people outside of the Sunsetters winning. And I think that's huge because I feel like for the most part, you get a big dominant alliance and then they win HOH every week. And there's nothing, I mean, you can't build momentum as an outsider if you literally are on the block every week. Like, it's just, if you're always a target, then you can't build anything. So at this point, like, I am very excited to see what happens. I hope that Victoria uses this to her advantage to create some sort of external alliance, you know, and they can form something real and not just kind of like, I'm worried. I don't think this will happen, but I hope this doesn't happen. I'm a little worried that like possibly that someone from the Sunsetters or whatever can influence Victoria's nominees to like be outside of the Sunsetters and just like pick off another external person. And I hope that's not the case, but like, you know, that's what we can hope for.
The thing is, either way, it's still very exciting because like you were saying, like this is exactly like what we were looking for all of last season, where someone in the dominant alliance not winning and, you know, getting someone else to, you know, potentially put them up. But this is also great, like for as a viewer of like the Sunsetters to see like, OK, let's see how the Sunsetters are able to navigate, you know, if they're going to be able to get the whole team through this week and see if they can play Victoria. And I also just think that, you know, with the whole Victoria Toya thing, like even though she did rat out Toya, I feel like it's just part of Victoria's nature. Like she's just kind of been very loose-lipped in the house all week. And I just kind of feel like Victoria just kind of just spills her guts out to whoever wants to listen. So, you know, I feel like the anger might come more from Toya's side. And I remember like, you know, Victoria and Toya do kind of have like a little bit of a relationship. I feel like Victoria has been trying to give her a little bit of trust. She's broken it a little, but I feel like Toya should be good this week. I mean, we'll see what happens after like a veto, but I'm not as worried about Toya as I would be for like Tara or something like that.
Yeah, I definitely think based on initial impressions, my guess would be that this week will come down to will the Sunsetters be able to get Tara on the block? And if so, probably out of the game, or will Vic stick to her guns, leave Tara alone and put Toya up next to Kiefer or somebody else who Toya would potentially go home against? And even if she is against Kiefer, what happens then? You probably have people like Tara and Tina trying to rally votes for Toya. And, you know, you have maybe have Vic trying to get Toya out. Not sure there. Maybe she doesn't even go after Toya. Maybe she does just stick to Tara. If it is Tara that she's trying to aim for, then she is able to keep both sides probably decently happy, although Kyle and Roe probably wouldn't be too pleased with that because they probably feel pretty good with Tara at this point. So I think this will definitely be both sides trying to court Vic. And one side will be saying Tara and the other side will be saying Toya. And I don't know. We could see Toya leave, but we could also see like a different Sunsetter take the hit here. You know, it's really up in the air at this point.
Yeah, this is great. I'm just super excited to watch the Kyle and Roe versus Sunsetters duel. Like, you know, just because like I was very, you know, excited about the potential flip, but I always loved the promise of Kyle and Rose staying in the game as long as they possibly could to see if they could, you know, potentially upset, you know, whatever, you know, Toya and Jed and Ty are setting up. So I'm very excited to see what happens. And, you know, I think it's going to kind of just be a race for whoever can pull Victoria in the fastest.
I also think it's partially going to be based on who knew what and who told who what before this potential flip that happened this week or that didn't happen this week. But I feel like, you know, people like Austin or Brayden or possibly Victoria or Tara or whoever, if they felt out of the loop, I mean, same with Ro and Kyle, like if they felt left out by certain people, they might be upset with them and try and get them out. So I feel like there's a situation where someone who thought they were close with someone else realized because they weren't told about this flip or they were kept out of the loop or whatever, that they aren't so close. And in fact, they want to try and get them out. So I feel like it really depends how this all went down right before the vote. So I'm really excited to see what the noms are, because I honestly have no idea at this point. So it really could go any direction. And that's what you want. Like, that's what you want when you hear who the HOH is. You want to be like, oh my God, I have no idea what's going to happen. That's what keeps it exciting. That's what keeps it fun. And so I'm very excited for this week.
Yes. And Scott, with a good point in the chat, just to solidify this, if only one Sunsetter is on the block and they stay together this week, they will control the votes. There will be 9 votes with 12 players in the game, which means that 5 votes will be a majority. So if Toya is on the block against Tara, the rest of the Sunsetters can vote Tara out without needing any extra help. So in order to for sure take out one of the Sunsetters, you need to have them against each other. Now, the part of the problem there is that Vic might not know exactly who is in and who is out. She may think that Tara is with those guys and that putting Tara up would be like putting one of their alliance members up. But I think the counter to that is that Ro and Kyle might be around to say, hey, no, Tara's with us. You don't need to do Tara. If that's true, you know, people like Tina should be okay, but losing Toya would not be great for Tina. Losing Tara would also not be great for Tina. I'm curious to know what that means. If Toya does go up on the block next to, say, Kiefer, where do the Sunsetters go? Does Tina try and convince them all to try and keep Toya? Are they able to get the votes to do that? If all 4 of the other Sunsetters plus Tara vote to keep Toya, they could. So getting Toya out might not be super easy here. So again, there's a lot of different ways that this can go. And Vic does not have all of the information to know exactly how to make her plan work, depending on what her plan is. So this really could be a very interesting week.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that, you know, Victoria is able to, you know, not be easily influenced by just another alliance pulling her in. And I hope Victoria is going to really try to assess all the pieces that are on the board and see where she fits in and where she's going to be able to move forward. I'm not sure if she has, like you're saying, like the tools to figure that out. But either way, even so, I'm excited for a hot mess HOH if that's what that means, because, you know, like it's kind of fun to see a hot mess HOH sometimes and see the strategists try to, you know, flail around and see how they can save themselves from the burning building. It'll be fun either way.
I can say it sounds like, from what I'm reading, I'm seeing a little bit in the chat, I'm seeing a little bit elsewhere, that Austin, Brayden, Ro, and Kyle have been talking, comparing some notes, and that Vic might be involved in some of those talks. Maybe not, but basically, Kyle and Ro have been saying, you guys can't trust Beth. You guys cannot trust Beth. Was involved in that flip. Beth is against you. She's with the guys. And it sounds like they might be believing it, which would be very interesting. Maybe we could see Beth on the block next to Toya. Wouldn't that be interesting?
It'd be funny to just, you know, or maybe not funny, but the concept of, you know, both Beth and Toya being you know, perceived as like, oh, they're both with the guys. They're both with the guys. Like, we have to get them out. Why don't you just take out the guys then if, you know, they're the ones that are both with them? But I think that also is another flaw that's in Beth's game where, you know, because she's kind of, you know, hooking up with both these guys and, you know, starting maybe potentially starting a showman's with Ty, but, you know, kissing Jed, like, you know, it's easily perceived to be like, okay, this, you know, they're all together. They're working together. They're kissing, you know, they're in bed together or whatever. So they're together while, you know, Toya is kind of not working more under the shadows because everyone knows, but I guess it's easier it'd be harder to see that Toya is working with the guys as opposed to Beth, who is obviously just like right in front of everyone. Like Beth is flirting with both Jed and Ty. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Got a full-on puppy fight going on in the
so
background.
Sorry.
No, it's actually adorable.
It's a little show, I guess. They're like literally. I'm just sitting here on mute. They're so loud.
All right. Well,
I keep telling Dennis to take them away.
I think that's basically what we've got here tonight. There's not a whole lot else we can speculate on until we find out more about Vic's plans. But it does sound like there could be a Kyle Rowe, Austin Braden side coming together. That would be very interesting. As we said, that would form a two-sided house right now. And Tina would be probably the only person capable of infiltrating that. Does she have the skills to do so? I'm not sure. She's very good at one-on-one conversations. She's very good at getting people to trust her, but she has not proven to be very good at infiltration and making sure that she's caught up with people that she's not actually with. So I don't know, but there's definitely a lot of intrigue that we have here moving forward, and I haven't been this excited about Big Brother in a while.
I forgot what this is like, just the feeling, you know, of right? This like last season, like I had, or in Big Brother 22, I mean, like I had none of that, and Big Brother Canada 8 was so short, like I can't remember the last time I've just been this excited for, you know, an HOH and seeing, you know, how the game's gonna move forward. Like I'm actually excited, you know, thinking about like where this game was gonna end, because I have no idea, like none. Even Big Brother 22, you were able to figure that out like within, you know, week three. Okay, I think I know who's running the game. Here we have no clue, and that's what Big Brother's all about, and I'm loving it.
Right, and to get excited when you like check the updates or check the feeds or whatever, you know, like to be like, okay, wait, what did I miss? What happened? Like when I was asleep, what happened? Did anything happen? Like it makes me so excited. And I was so excited waiting for this episode tonight. And I feel like I haven't had that in a long time to like be excited for an episode. I just felt like, I feel like so far the season is so exciting. I'm rooting for like everybody. I feel like a lot of seasons lately, I've just been kind of like, okay, there's a couple people I like, everyone else can go. So let's just get this over with. And I feel like this season though, I've been very excited about everybody. I think everybody's in it to win it. They're all playing. It's such a great cast. It's such a great season so far. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the rest of it. Honestly, very fun.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens tonight on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. And then we will be back on Monday night for the Monday night recap. Rob will be here. We'll talk with Rob about everything that's been going on over the weekend and on the episode. I will also be on Twitch over the weekend playing some Among Us. Still could maybe go live tonight if we're excited. I'm pretty excited, so maybe we'll go live tonight on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, to check in there. And then of course, we got a round table coming up on Tuesday. Hopefully you all put in your orders in the stock market, stock watch.
Oh, I did, but now I'm like, I think I made a huge mistake.
Oh no.
Already the first one. I think I really blew it. So I might be out.
Oh boy.
We'll see. I'm not out like I picked Josh, but I am like thinking I might be out this week.
Am I sensing some Toya? Don't answer. We'll have to find out
on the round table. You'll find out what mistakes Melissa's made and how bad she is at the stock watch on this week's round table.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's a cliffhanger.
You'll have to wait and find out. Wait till Tuesday.
So yes, check all of that out. I did a stream earlier today talking about the Stockwatch. It was very fun. So check it all out. Be a patron of Rob as a podcast as well. Don't be slacking with your patronage. It's like olden times when you had patrons, right?
Yeah,
that's exactly the whole thing. Phil, where can people find you?
You can follow me on twitter.com/listenupphillip. That's twitter.com/listenupphillip. And I'm also writing a lot of movie and TV show reviews on letterboxd.com/PNTJR. I'm watching a lot of the post Disney Renaissance era animated films, like the hand-drawn ones, just to kind of see like how Disney was able to kind of live after that golden age. And I watched Treasure Planet. It wasn't that great. But you could just follow me. I'm always writing stuff there. Yeah.
There you go. Melissa, what are you up to?
I'm at It's Melissa with 3 A's on all social media. I just recorded a podcast for Stuff 90 Shows Taught Me about Mary-Kate and Ashley, which will, I think, be up next week. So I'll repost it or whatever on my Twitter once it gets posted. And it was a very fun, long conversation. If you love Mary-Kate and Ashley as much as I do, you will enjoy it. So it'll be good.
All right. Well, final piece of information before we wrap up here. Apparently, Vic has just told Tara that she is good this week. She's not going on the block.
Good. So, that would have been like such a like safe, boring week.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Oh boy. If we get a Sunsetters blow up week 3, I'm really living. This is golden. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
So good. Wow. I love it.
All right. Well,
it's going to be a good week.
It is. All right. That's what we have for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning for the update. And I will see all of you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.